Amen. Of course, as we strive together this year, we're going to be seeing many areas of progress in serving the Lord. And when you pick up the ticket for the banquet, you'll get a little button that says, I'm on the team, all right? And that way we'll know who's getting tickets, and we'll be able to work together during these upcoming months, preparing a great team of God's people to do something great for God. Let's stand together now for our scripture reading. And the scripture reading today is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. During this month of January and the first few weeks of February, our goal has been to help families and to help families, whether they be what has been called traditional or single-parent families, whatever the structure might be this morning. I'd like to share with you a message from God's Word that I trust will be a help and a blessing. And this morning we're going to read a few more verses than normal, but I'd encourage you to follow with me as I read today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. And there are many wonderful principles in these verses, and we'll look at three specifically today. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, which means all sorts of wicked living, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have forgiven us for Christ's sake. And we thank you that though there are many problems which face families today, that if we'll follow your word, you have promised to us that we can have joy that is abundant and joy that is based in you and a relationship with you. And so, Lord, help us to understand today how that we can apply these scriptures which we have just read to our everyday lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. During the past 10 or 12 years of ministry, especially with couples and families, I've had the privilege of serving and working with hundreds and hundreds of families. And while every home is special and unique to God, there have been two different groups which I have been able to distinguish. The first one this morning I'm going to call the Duracell family. Those are the families that just keep going and going and going. And the second one this morning we're going to call the generic brand family, the average family in America today. That is the family that is slowly draining, slowly dimming, and slowly failing with every passing day. Now, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between those Duracell families and those generic brand families, but a trained ear can usually tell them apart. You see, the generic family begins to show signs of dimming and draining of energy in various ways. Sometimes you pick it up when you hear that mean tone of voice from one family member to another. Sometimes you pick up on the problem when there's criticism from a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife. Sometimes you hear criticism even of children. I've even heard the phrase, "Yes, dear," said in a very scathing way time and time again. Instead of "yes, dear," it's "yes, dear." There's oftentimes an indifference to affection in these generic average families in America. There are ridiculous disputes in these families. I'm talking about conversations like this. My Aunt Mildred turned 65 just this past week. She was not 65, she was 64. She was 65, stupid, and don't forget it. In front of large numbers of people, conversations like that can be heard in these average American families as they dim and as they drain. Sometimes there's intense arguing over how to discipline a child, and sometimes these families arrange their schedules so that they never meet, so that they just conveniently don't have to see one another. And so this morning I would like us to come to the Word of God and to take a sort of a battery test and to see how strong our home is today. To see if we're one of those Duracell families or to see if we're showing signs of a dimming, failing relationship. And today there are three truths that I would like to share with you that I think would help any family from the Word of God keep going and going and going until Jesus comes again. And I would like to share them with you. The first truth or the first lesson today from the Word of God is that every family should declare a purpose for that home's existence. Declare a purpose for that home's existence. Many corporations today have a stated mission. They print it on everything, and they're very clear about the purpose or the mission of the corporation. But you know, I'm finding today that many homes have lost focus. There's no real mission. There's no real objective. There's no real stated purpose for the existence of the family other than just a place to meet, to eat, and to get out of the road. But I believe today that a successful Christian family is a family that just stops to say, what are we all about? What is the purpose of this relationship? And what are the goals of this family? And I see some goals that are given for God's people beginning in verse number 17 this morning of Ephesians 4. Paul says to these Gentile believers at Ephesus, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Notice he says in verse 18 that they have had their understanding darkened. They have been alienated from the life of God through ignorance. The Bible says in verse number 19, they are past feeling. They have given themselves over to lasciviousness or wicked living of all kinds. And so we see that here in regard to the walk of the unsaved world in which they were living, Paul says, now in your family life, don't walk according to the path of those all around you. Don't just see it and then copy it. Don't see the wicked living and see these people who are ignorant of God and then just do what comes natural. But he says in verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I believe the purpose of a Christian family, first of all, should be that we would have a renewed walk, that our walk would be a walk that is renewed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The word renewed means to make young again, to restore that love, that vibrancy, and that vitality that only Jesus can bring back. And a renewed walk in a Christian home will separate itself from the worldliness that is mentioned. Verses 18 and 19 alone mention darkness, mention alienation, mention blindness, mention wickedness,
uncleanness and greediness. God's word says that His people are not to walk in darkness, uncleanness, and greediness, but they are to renew their mind through the Word of God. And if there has ever been a time in human history when Christian families need to renew their mind, need to get refreshed in their mind, it is today. Because your mind is being bombarded by the very things mentioned in verses 18 and 19. You'll hear it at work tomorrow. You'll see it at work tomorrow. You'll be exposed to it on the television this week. Darkness of every sort. And so the purpose of a Christian home should be to walk a renewed walk that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we see a renewed walk, secondly this morning, there is a holy walk that is mentioned as well. Notice in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned from Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Here we see the holy walk for a godly family. The Bible tells us that there is an old man and a new man. Some of you have studied this before. For some of you, this may be new today. But you see, the Bible says that all of us in our flesh have an old man, and an old man in the sense of Satan fighting and warring against us in the fleshly nature that we possess. But the Bible teaches when we're saved, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this new creature has come into our lives. We are redeemed. We are renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is what is mentioned here with the old and the new man. And the Bible says we are to put on the new man. We are to say, "Lord, now that you are in my life, take control. I want your Holy Spirit to fill me. I want my family to be a new family, a renewed family." And then in verse number 24, a holy family, because the Bible says God is created in us in righteousness and true holiness. And so the Bible says we're to put off uncleanness, greediness, wicked living, and we are to put on God's righteousness and holiness through Jesus Christ. Now, without salvation in Jesus Christ, that is not possible. But once we are saved, we can practically and daily put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can learn from Him day by day. And that's what Paul is mentioning in verse 20 when he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." In other words, Christ is not teaching us how to live wickedly and ungodly lives. Christ wants to teach us how to live in holiness and righteousness. And so he says in verse 24, "Put on the new man each and every day. Lord, I want you to fill me today and guide me today. I want my life to be a reflection of you today." This is a holy walk. This is a renewed walk. And so we see in these verses that a Christian's life has a different purpose than the average unsaved man or woman. Our purpose is not to walk according to this world. Our purpose is to put on the new man, to be renewed in our mind day by day, and to walk the way that Jesus Christ wants us to walk. Now, taking those few thoughts there, let's just pretend this morning that our family is going to sit down. Some of you fathers may want to do this week. And sit down and write out a purpose for the family, a mission statement for your family, a goal for your family, the purpose statement for your family. And we could take the context of these verses and we could write something like this: "The purpose of our home is to follow Christ by walking a renewed and holy walk in a wicked and ungodly world." Now, wouldn't that be a great purpose for some families today? The purpose of our home or our family is to follow Christ by walking a renewed and holy walk in a wicked and ungodly world. Now, state it how you want to state it this morning. Every family that is going to make it through the 90s is going to have a declaration of purpose. You're going to have to figure out what is the goal of your family. What is the purpose of that family? Say it how you like, but say it. And set a direction and make a declaration, this family will please Christ and this family will put off the old life of all of the sin that is around us in society, and we'll put on the new man of Jesus Christ day by day, and we will live for Him in this wicked and ungodly world. Joshua said it like this in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
I like a man like that. I like a man where you don't have to wonder what's important to him, where you know right off the bat his household and that dear wife and family, or that lady who's a single parent, or that man who's a single parent will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a declaration of purpose, and the purpose of this family is to glorify Jesus Christ. You see, there is wickedness everywhere, isn't there? We read about it in the Bible. We see it all around us. The television is now portraying CBS. An average daily time of CBS will show 7.7 acts of adultery every single day just on that one single channel. Cheating and wickedness. We see it on the television. We see all around us the homosexual advocates for their wicked, ungodly lifestyle, and they're trying to bring it into our public school curriculum as an alternative lifestyle, and wickedness is everywhere. New Age religions and earth worship and all of the rest of it. And I'm saying this morning that there need to be some mommies and daddies in this room who say, in light of what's going on in this world, I am declaring a purpose for my family, and that is that this family will be distinct and separate from this society. In the way that we are going, we will please Christ, we'll put off the old man, and we'll put on the new man for the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. And I'm challenging you this morning to aim at something, to set a purpose for your family, that your family will be a family that says very clearly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My children will not be hearing from me that this is an alternative for them or even a choice for them. I'm going to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So many parents today have gone a little crazy in their thought, well, I'll just let Johnny make up his own mind when he gets old enough. No, no. God says you bring them up and you help them to make those decisions. And so the first attribute that we would see this morning for a Duracell family that just keeps going and going, it's a family that knows where it's going. It's a family that declares its purpose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Secondly, there must be in this family a dedication to the truth. A dedication to the truth. Would you notice what the Bible says in verse 21? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. If you want to understand the truth, and if you want to know which truth to be dedicated to according to God, he says, I want you to be dedicated to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to know more about Jesus? You want to know more about God? You're going to find it from the Word of God. And here we must be dedicated to the truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 17:17, Jesus, as he's praying for the disciples, he says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And there must be a dedication to the truth of God, which is found in the word of God. I'm talking about parents who do not make church an option. They make it a priority. I'm talking about parents who do not make Bible reading an option. They make it a priority. And they say, we are dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. And if we're going to maintain our purpose as a Christian home, then we must find ourselves being dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. And so we find that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it guides us through the darkness which Paul is telling them about. And it keeps us going in the path that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a Christian home must be dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. May I say also this morning on the subject of truth, that we must be dedicated to truthfulness within our own families. Truthfulness within our own families. Notice what it says, if you would, in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his own neighbor, for we are members one of another. Notice in verse 15 of chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You and I need to understand in a Christian home, there needs to be a zero tolerance for lying today. And there needs to be a tremendous dedication to the truth of the Word of God. And there needs to be a tremendous dedication to truth and honesty one with another as we build up trust in the home. And the way to tear down trust in your family, sir, is to lie to your wife. And the way to tear down trust in your family, ma'am, is to lie to your husband. I often tell young couples in premarital counseling, as you elevate dependability, you will eliminate doubt. But the less dependable you are, the more doubts come into the mind of that family. And so there must be a commitment to the truth. The Bible says, putting away lying. Now, you know, most of us are going to sit here today and say, well, I don't need much preaching about that. I don't have a problem with that. But in 1991, there was a book written called The Day America Told the Truth. And this book did an anonymous survey. In other words, they said, we're doing a survey just to find out some things about how we are with honesty in this country. We'll not use your name, phone number, or address. We just like to talk to you about your reflections about the truth and honesty in America. The survey recorded that only 13% of Americans see the Ten Commandments as binding. That was interesting. And furthermore, it said that 91% of Americans indicated in the survey that they lie regularly at home and at work. You know, the truth of the matter is today that we are in a crisis for the truth in America. We are living in a day when employers lie to their employees, and employees lie to their employers, and husbands lie to their wives, and children in this room, perhaps even this week, lie to their parents about their whereabouts. And if we're going to maintain a family that keeps going and going and going, we are going to have to be dedicated to the truth of the Word of God and to truthfulness one with another in the way that we conduct our family affairs. And so we see this morning in this passage, first of all, there must be a declaration of purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God, to put off the old, to put on the new, and to have a family that's different in this wicked day. Secondly, there must be a dedication to the truth of the Word of God. And would you notice, thirdly, with me this morning, there must be a determination for forgiveness in the family. Forgiveness in the family. Families that keep going and going learn how to forgive one another. The Bible is clear, and I want you to see the full context beginning in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Here we see anger. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer can be grieved by the sins of the life of that believer. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now in verses 26 through 31, which we briefly sketched just now, there are many offenses that all of us are going to feel from time to time, even within the family unit. There is the offense or the feeling of anger that is mentioned, first of all, in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. The only way you can be angry and not sin is if you are experiencing a righteous indignation at a problem or at a sin, but not towards the person. But we're talking this morning about anger towards a person in your family. And sometimes you're going to have someone who's very, very angry with you. And by the way, when that anger goes day after day after day, and you let the sun go down on your wrath and come up on your wrath and go down on your wrath and you hold a grudge, you're giving place to the devil. After a while, that wedge gets wider and wider and wider. That's why we need to practice forgiveness immediately. Anger. Many today are here this morning, and you struggle with anger. Not a week goes by that we don't try to help someone who's angry at a daddy from 20 years ago or an uncle from 7 years ago or a husband for what he said 3 years ago. Anger. Some of you this morning are experiencing anger in your heart and your life, and no one understands why you react the way you react, and there's tremendous anger in your heart and life. The Bible speaks here about corrupt communication in verse 29. Sometimes people say things that are hurtful towards you. They degrade you. They curse at you. And sometimes even Christian families, God forbid, but it happens that even in a Christian family, a Christian man will say a curse word towards his family. And that hurts. And sometimes people fly off the handle, even in Christian homes, with this type of corrupt communication. Don't call it, excuse me for using a little language either. God says it's corrupt. It's not a little language. I don't know how many men I've heard, whether it be on the golf course or just out walking through the neighborhoods. Excuse my language, Reverend. You know what? It's not just language. It's corrupt language. The Bible speaks about corrupt communication, and sometimes you're the recipient of it, aren't you? The Bible speaks in verse 31 about bitterness, and sometimes people are just indwelt with bitterness, and then it speaks of wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Malice is just smoldering anger. We have husbands this morning who are angry with their wives, and wives this morning who are angry with their husbands. The devil wants to put a wedge there. He'd like to put you completely out of that family, out of the house of God, out of fellowship with God. He'd just like that anger to give place to the devil. And so there must be a determination on the part of a family that there will be forgiveness in that family. A couple recently went to their pastor for counseling. This couple was full of anger. You could cut it with a knife. It was so thick in the room. The pastor said, "Well, now, when did all of this begin? Tell me about it." And the couple said, "Well, it all started when we thought it would be cute to write out each other's New Year's resolutions." Bad idea. And anger can develop from something so silly. I remember when I first had my very first marriage counseling session. I was just in my early 20s, didn't know what I was doing. I had some college courses, some books, and the Bible. Man, I was ready to help. Here came this couple. They were from India. They came into my office. They'd been married 10 years. I asked the first question you're supposed to ask: when did these problems begin? And they said, "These problems began the day we got married." Great. Apparently over in India, dad was at market. He met her dad. His dad met her dad. They swapped some money and decided that they'd go ahead and let the kids get married. They hated each other from day one. And they'd only gotten more angry and more angry with every passing day of marriage. Now they come to the youngest marriage counselor in the Santa Clara Valley to get help. By the way, they both accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, received the forgiveness of God, forgave one another, and they're attending church this morning in the Northern California area. Amen. You see, forgiving one another. The word forgiveness comes from the Greek word charizomai, which means to bestow a favor unconditionally. To bestow a favor unconditionally. "I'll forgive Norbert until he does it again, Pastor. Then I'm going to bring it all back out." That's not forgiveness, is it? To bestow a favor unconditionally. And I really believe this morning. The majority of marital conflict, not all, but I believe a majority of marital conflict could be resolved if forgiveness was offered and then if it was received. What a tragedy to see a man go to a woman and ask forgiveness and to see it not be reciprocated. What a tragedy to see a woman go to a man, ask forgiveness, and now we have, the ball is rolling, but someone can't receive forgiveness. You know, some of you this morning, it's not that you need to forgive, it's that you need to receive somebody's forgiveness. Forgiving one another. And then would you see the key phrase to this whole chapter, verse 32? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake. There is the basis of Christian forgiveness. That is why Christians are supposed to be able to forgive each other more readily than non-Christians. Why? Because we understand God forgave us when we were undeserving of it. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. God has forgiven us for the sake or because of the work of Jesus Christ. Someone might say this morning, yeah, well, Pastor, my husband doesn't deserve forgiveness. Well, neither do you, sister. And neither do I. But aren't you glad God forgave you? I mean, who deserves forgiveness? But thank God that He loves us and that His mercy is everlasting. And thank God that Jesus Christ paid the price. God does not forgive us because of our merit. God forgives us because of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary's tree. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, perfect in every way, though He walked on this world and was tempted with all points of sin and all kinds of sin, nevertheless, He never one time sinned. And Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, voluntarily was placed upon a cross. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away. I'm not going to stay. But He died alone for you and for me. And He shed His blood. And that blood became the payment for the sins of this world. Thank God 3 days later He rose again. Amen. Proving that He was the Son of God. But in that gracious and glorious act of the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ paid in full the sins of mankind. And anyone who will come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as personal Savior, God the Father says, forgiven, justified. It's as though they never did sin in the first place. What a great thing to be a Christian. What a great thing to be able to say, I have been forgiven by God, not because I'm so good, but because Jesus Christ, the perfect one, died on the cross for my sins. Thank God that He loves you this morning. Thank God that He has forgiven you through Jesus Christ. And if you'll just let that get all over you and all into you, and if you'll understand that this morning, it'll help you to forgive someone you're having trouble forgiving today. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And so Jesus shed His blood for our forgiveness. By the way, may I hasten to say, if you have never received that forgiveness, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't know what it is to be able to say, my sins are forgiven and one day I'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ, we would invite you to make that decision today. Just make today the day when you say, all right, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to accept God's forgiveness and I'll accept His offer of forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, to receive Christ. And until you do, much of this makes very little sense. And so we see for the Christian home that's going to keep going and going, not dimming and dimming, but going and going. We see three things today. First of all, declare your purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to put off the old and to put on the new as we live in this wicked world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Secondly, dedicate your family life to the truth of the Word of God and to honesty with one another. And thirdly, determine that you will be a family that knows how to forgive one another. And in so doing, you'll keep going and going and going until Jesus comes again. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for this time to just look into the Word of God and to see some helps for the family life. Lord, our country and our families in this country and in this church, we need help for our families. And I pray that something that's been said today would literally change some family in this room today. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. We're going to have just a moment of invitation. And I would like to ask just a few questions as we sum this all up today. And I just would like to ask, first of all, this morning, how many are here in this room today with me who could say, Pastor Chapel, I remember the day when I accepted Christ and His forgiveness, God's forgiveness became real to me. I know that I'm on my way to heaven today because I've accepted Christ. I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Would you just lift your hand this morning just as a testimony today? Boy, that's a blessing. May put your hands down. And we're not here to embarrass anyone. We'd like to be a help and a blessing to you today. And I thank some of you today who did not raise your hand. And I wonder how many are here who would say, Pastor Chapel, I've had some religion and I've had some different things in my life, but when you ask specifically, do I have that forgiveness? Do I know I'll go to heaven? I'm not sure. But I would really like to know about that. I would like to receive that. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand right now this morning? Just let me pray with you. All right, just hold them up there. God bless you, sir, and you, sir, and you, ma'am, and you, sir. Are there others? God bless you, ma'am. Are there others this morning? God bless you, ma'am, in the back. God bless you, son, on the right. Are there any others? Sir, I see your hand on the right. God bless you. Until you accept Jesus Christ, it'll be very hard for you to forgive. It'll be very hard for you to truthfully have a home that has the right purpose. Is there someone else that would join maybe these 8 or 10 folks in this room this morning right now? God bless you, son. Is there anyone else? Pastor Chapel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, that my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know about that. Please pray with me. Would you lift your hand? Is there anyone else? I just want to pray with you. And God bless you, ma'am. You know, this morning there have been so many throughout this room. I'd like to ask all of those who have not raised their hands just to keep your heads down. But if you just raised your hand to say that you need Christ and that you're not sure that you would go to heaven, I'd like to ask you to look up at me right now. Just look right at my way. Just right this way for a minute. I'll catch your eye and you catch mine. In just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to all stand and we're going to have a song of invitation. Every Sunday we do this and we invite people to come and we have counselors that will take a man, will take a couple, a woman will take a woman, a man will take a man. And we're going to invite you to come. We want to review a few scriptures. It will take a few moments. And you can receive Christ today and receive His forgiveness. It's not from our church. It's not from me. It's from Jesus Christ. We'd like to share it with you from the Word of God today. And so in a moment, we're going to invite you to come. You put your heads down, and in a moment, we'll take care of that. Before we close, let me ask just this final question here. For those who've accepted Christ previously, I wonder if there are some single moms or some single dads, or if there are some dads in this room, husbands, who would say, Pastor, my company has a purpose statement. My company has a mission statement, but my family doesn't. And by God's grace, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to establish some direction and some purpose for my home. I don't want to do it by accident. I want to set a direction today. God spoke to me about that. Would you lift your hand right now? Are there some folks that would sit down and just write something out for a family and set the direction? God bless you. God bless you. And may you do it today. I wonder if there are someone who'd say, Pastor, God spoke to me about being dedicated to the truth and the truth of God's Word and truthfulness in my family, and I was convicted about those things, and I'm making a decision today in that area. Pray with me. Would you lift your hand today if God spoke to you about that? Maybe there's a need to commit to the Word of God, to church attendance, or to telling the truth to one another. And then I hope you'll hear me on this. Everyone in this room, I wonder today if there's someone here, and you'd say, Pastor, there's someone today that I not only need to forgive, I am going to forgive. Now, you may not have to call them. You may just need to take care of it in your own life, your own heart. Don't become some sort of a hardcore, angry type person running around this countryside. Don't get bitter. Get better. And that'll happen by forgiving. And I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, there's someone on my mind, I'm going to forgive them today. They may not even know they offended you, by the way, but you'll forgive them. You'll drop it. You'll not bring it back up. You'll drop it. And then others of you that someone has asked you to forgive them and you've really not forgiven them. And you need to receive forgiveness today. And I wonder how many in this room would say, Pastor, when it comes to forgiveness, I've got to do something about it today. There's someone in my mind. There's something I've got to take care of. By the uplifted hand, I'm taking care of it in my heart just this moment right now. Would you lift your hand right now? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
God bless you. May put your hands down. Now don't, if you're bitter or angry at your husband, don't sit there and fold your arms and keep your arms crossed or check your watch. If you're bitter or angry at your wife, because you'll give place to the devil. I've seen it happen in many a family. Is there someone else, Pastor? By God's grace, I'm going to forgive someone today that I need to forgive. Would you lift your hand this morning? I'd just like to pray with you. All right. Good. Good. Don't let the devil get the victory. Don't let him cause you to become angry. God bless you. We have entire groups of people in this country just angry because they feel like they've been ripped off. We need to forgive. Father, we thank you for this time today. And Lord, we've taken a few extra minutes, but we just believe that we've got to understand these principles and help us now with these decisions that we've made to follow through on them. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together right now this morning.